Well, good morning. I got a phone call Friday evening, and Pastor Robert said, "You get to teach at Calvary Christian." I went, "Yeah." And so I am excited to be here, and for a lot of special reasons. When Scott did his second service in Tucson, my wife and I were staying up at the Wycliffe Center, and we were missionaries, and so we went to the service that he did. And so for me, coming in here today, I said to Bo, I said, "Bo, what room am I in? I mean, this thing's grown, it's changed, and there's new faces, and it's beautiful to see what God's done through Pastor Scott and Pam as they've come here to minister the Word of God. And then I think about how this ministry has grown and even gone outside of these four walls to obviously reach our local community at Tucson, but also to go throughout the United States and even internationally. And so I just want to say, you know, what a blessing it is to be here with you, this fellowship that is effectively reaching our community in the world. And I just want to say that I am blessed to see what God's doing, to see the growth of the fellowship, and that you all together would continue in love and continue to support your pastor and to grow with this fellowship. So may the Lord bless you this morning. This morning, we're going to be looking at the life of King David, as well as some of the other patriarchs of the Bible. And one of the things that we want to take a look at is, how did they make it through difficult times? Because if you look at the Word of God and you look at the life of some of the different patriarchs, they all went through things that were different and hard and difficult. And for whatever reason, when we're living the life we're living today, and we look at the circumstances around us, we kind of sometimes get overwhelmed, and we can even fret and worry, and those things can become distractions for us. So today we want to look at some of the things that happened in the past. We want to look at where we are today, where we're going as even a nation, or where we're going as Christians. What's happening in our lives as Christians? Where is our focus? What is our goal as a Christian living in the world today? But we want to glean from God's Word, and that's exactly why we have God's Word. It's to glean from it. So we'll be looking at a passage today in 1 Samuel chapter 30. So if you would, you can turn there, and then we'll open with just a word of prayer as we turn to God's Word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we do have you, and we thank you for the promises we have in Christ. But Lord, we do thank you so much for the future we have in Christ. It's eternal, it's perfect, it's one filled with love, joy, and peace. And so Lord, as we look to your Word today, we ask that you'd speak to our hearts, that you encourage us, that you build us up, that Lord, your Word would edify us. And so we thank you, and we ask in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. You know, as I was saying earlier, you know, sometimes we look around even in church, and we watch people come in. We're people watchers, and sometimes we'll see a couple and we'll go, "Gee, you know, they look really happy," or "That person always sort of seems to be with a smile on their face, and they don't seem to have a lot of problems." And gee, I wish maybe my marriage was like that over there. Those people, or I wish I had what that person has. And so we have a tendency to sort of look around and observe other people around us and say, "I wish I had what they have." But what you don't know is that they go through some of the same difficulties and trials that you do. You just don't know what happens when they leave this church. See, because when we're all here, it's a beautiful thing to worship. Because as you worship the Lord, you forget about the cares of the world. We're raptured into the throne in the presence of the Lord. And it's a place of rest. It's a place of peace. And it's like, who's thinking about their mortgage payment? No, we're not thinking about that. See, we're not thinking about those difficult things sometimes that approach us in life. No, because we're in the presence of the Lord. And so what I want to share with you is, though you may go through difficult times, and you personally know what you're going through, you know what's in your heart, understand that so is everybody who's sitting next to you. You see, and this is why we need one another as a fellowship. Do you know we're a family? We've been adopted into the family of God. And though, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, there was a couple I used to observe, and I'd look at that couple, and I'd say, you know, they seem really happy in their marriage, and obviously, you know, they're doing pretty good in life here. They look like they're dressed pretty nice. And I always sort of looked at them as, wow, you know, they're blessed. I wish I was kind of blessed that way too. Until they came in my office. And then they started sharing their life. And I said, oh my gosh, I'm glad I'm me. I'm glad I'm where I'm at. No complaints, Lord, sorry. Because I found out I was distracted looking at other places thinking it's nicer there, they're happier, and I'm just going through stuff in my life. Well, today we're going to look at David's life, but what we're going to see about his life is he is at probably the most horrible place he could have ever been in his life. He was going to be, and we're going to see, totally devastated, emotionally, physically, mentally, absolutely devastated. But David did the right thing in the middle of those difficulties. And that's what we want to do. See, we want to know the time in which we're living. And thank God for God, and thank God for His Word. Because He does not keep us in the dark. He calls us friend. He tells us what He's going to do before anything happens. Or even what's going to happen in the world. We're aware. I mean, I think a lot of you might have been here when Joel Rosenberg spoke the other night. And we heard some of that information and we, wow, woo. And we all in our hearts probably say, come soon, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Because this world is changing. And I think you and I would agree, this world's changing faster than we've seen it change in the past decade or two. I mean, there's some things that are changing quickly. And we have no control, do we? We can't stop these changes. We can't sit and say, wait a minute, excuse me, but I'm not in agreement. Can we not do this? Can we not do that? Can we change this and change that? See, that's not how it works in the world, does it? However, God is over all things, and that's where you and I have rest. So today, as we start to look at the things that we're going to take a look at here, we do want to look at the patriarchs. How did they get through difficult times? You know, the Bible, if you really read through the whole Bible, you're going to see that when it talks about Abraham, or if it talks about Joseph or Moses, or if it talks about Esther or any of the biblical characters, Hannah, they all had incredible things that they were going through, and yet they made it. And, you know, and as we look to Hebrews chapter 11, we look at the Hall of Faith. Well, without exception, every person in the Hall of Faith went through struggles and difficulties, but their names are there. And your name is in the book of life. See, so we can rejoice in that. See, Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. He's the finisher of our faith. The good work which He's begun, He is faithful to complete. He sees us seated in the heavenlies, and I'm grateful for that. I don't have to worry, because I know as long as I'm in Christ, I'm going to get there. But it's not that I'm going to get there, so He's going to carry me there, because He's my God. And so today, as we start to look at the life of David, we're going to see that just like we, he goes through difficult times. But when we look at change in the world today, you know, a lot of people are focused on the economy. Now, if I ask for people to raise hands, and I'm not, some of you will raise your hands and say, oh yeah, you know, when we had this economic downturn, I lost money. I mean, it affected me. There's others here that would say, oh, I've been affected too by everything, foreclosure. And others would say, you know, I've been affected too, job layoff. And so many of us have been affected in different ways with the change in our economy. Then there's politics. Now, when some people look at the politics of today, and we're not going to get into politics, but when some people look at the politics of today and they're focused on it, some people get worried. They become fearful. Some become angry. Why? Because they're focused on politics or they're focused on the economy. But see, closer to home, sometimes we get focused on other things. How about our marriages? When things don't go well, and we start focusing on our spouse, Or we have trouble with our teens and we focus on the trouble with our teens. And all of a sudden we're finding, I don't have joy. I'm feeling this uneasiness. I don't have what I really want to have in life. And so those things come in. And I call those things distractions, because distractions can come into our life. And you know, one of the most difficult things that we can go through in life is when we lose a loved one. That can totally pull our attention to that area of hurt or difficulty. Well, as I say, there's so many different areas, you know, that we can get focused on in the world. But how do the patriarchs make it through? You know, I think of Abraham. When he's in his mid-70s, God shows up and says, Abraham, and of course his name means father, he says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a child. He's 75 probably, 74. And so God says this to him. And a few years go by. Now I imagine if Abraham had neighbors, let's say here they come on their camels, the Baba brothers. There's Ali Baba and Haji Baba. And they're coming by Abraham's house and they're saying, well, actually they're calling him Abram. Abram, how many kids do you have? I don't have any. Well, then why are you called Abram? Well, this is the name God's really given me. And then God changes his name, and here they come again, the Baba brothers. Because now his name is Abraham, which means father of many or father of nations. And then Abraham, Abram. They go, I'm not Abram anymore. I'm Abraham. Abraham, the father of many. Why is your name? Well, God changed my name. Now, I can imagine they rode off on their camels just laughing themselves to death, thinking, what kind of a God are you following, Abraham? He gives you a name, father, you have no kids. And now Abraham's getting to be 100. He's getting older. He's advancing in years. You see, God promised Abraham something, but it looked like an impossibility. And there's things in your life that God has promised you through his word, and yet you look at your life and you say, there's some impossibilities here. I don't know how I'm going to get through. I don't know how this is going to happen. But what happened with Abraham? Well, it says in the Bible that though he was as dead, what? He had a son. He had a son. And the exciting thing is that that son goes on to have many other descendants. And see, God has kept his promise, because even we as children of faith have become children and heirs with Abraham through faith. But God did keep his promise, and he is keeping his promise to Abraham and to Israel. But it looked like an impossibility. It looked like this is never going to happen. How can we make this happen? How can this change take place? You know, you think of Joseph's life too, because, you know, Joseph was sold by his brothers. He was sold into slavery. Eventually, he ends up in prison. And there he is, sitting in prison. No family, no loved ones, no encouragement, no support. Foreigner in a foreign country. Nobody knows he's there. Nobody cares he's there. And yet, God's with him. And he pulls him out. And he lifts him up. So I don't know where you are today in your life and what you're going through. But think about some of these examples. You know, when I think of Moses, for example. See, Moses didn't ask to be born in Egypt under slavery. He didn't ask to be sent down the River Nile in a little basket. He didn't ask to be pulled into Pharaoh's house, separated from his people. And then when he tries to reach them, they reject him. And then he murders a man and has to flee from the presence of Pharaoh. And what does he do? He goes into the desert for 40 years, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. He didn't even have any. He has a stuttering problem, and God shows up and says, Abraham, I want you to go back to Egypt and bring my people to this mountain. Abraham says, I can't. He made 5 excuses as to why he couldn't. And there may be things that God wants to do in your life today. Don't make those excuses, because God is God. You can trust him. You can follow him. He is faithful. And you know what? Again, here's the record, folks, right here. Right here in God's word, we see this record. And so that's exciting, because why? If God did that for those people, and he's my God, what will he do for me? What will he do through me? See, you're in this world for a purpose. You're not here by accident. You have been placed in this time period for a very specific purpose. You're to be a light where there is no light. You're to be a witness for Christ in a world that wants to reject him. And that's a wonderful place to be. But see, remember, Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation. See, the world is not a person-friendly environment. Now, God created it that way. He created it perfect. He created the Garden of Eden. It was beautiful. It was perfect. But because of the transgressions of man, we now live in a very imperfect environment, and it's hostile towards us. See, the world's against us. Satan's against us. The flesh is against us. We battle daily, constantly. But God is with us. And see, that's the beautiful part. See, we've been called into a family so that we can grow together in Christ. And in that process, we encourage one another. In that process, we weep with those who weep. We mourn with those who mourn. And we laugh with those who laugh. But we're there for one another. And so when we look at where the world is going today, we can honestly say it's not easy. It is not easy. But this is the confidence that we have in Christ, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means he loves us. Jesus told his disciples something very interesting before he went to the cross. He said this. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And you know what? When we focus on these things of the world around us, sometimes our hearts get troubled. What am I going to do? You know, I know some people are fearful of the pink slip, unemployment, losing their home, physical health issues. But Jesus said, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." Now, I'm sure when Joseph was in prison, fear came in. And yet that relationship with Christ kept him hanging on. Abraham, the promises, kept him hanging on. You hang on too. But when you hang on with love, joy, and peace. See, one of the things that Jesus does is he wants us to focus on our future. As we're going through this present world, there's many times, again, these distractions come in at us, but if I turn my eyes to heaven, if I set my mind on the heavenly things, then these earthly things cannot pull me down. And I just want to encourage you today, wherever you're at, whatever your personal struggles are, because we all have them, turn your eyes upon Jesus, because he is faithful. But don't let your heart be troubled. Let's look for a second here at the life of David. And I want to sort of explain where David's at. Now David was being persecuted by Saul. And for 1 year he left Israel, went into the Philistine land, lived with Achish, who was a king, and basically was hiding from Saul, because Saul would not go into the Philistine land to get him, to pursue him. And for really 1 year of David's life, he didn't produce anything for the Lord. God never told him, leave Israel. David decided, I have to get away from these problems, and so this is what I am going to do. And for that 1 year period, he actually lived a false life. Because King Achish would say to him, David, where have you been today? What campaign did you and your men go out and do? Oh, we went out against the Amalekites, and look, we brought back the treasure,
and you know, here's all the things that we've brought back. We attacked. But see, he didn't tell them the Amalekites. He said the Israelites. See, King Achish thought David was attacking Israel, and David was lying. He was attacking other people groups that were actually enemies of Israel. But the king said the whole time, oh, isn't David a wonderful person? He was living a false life. You see, sometimes we come here, and I want to address this part. Sometimes we come here presenting ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. But please live that life outside the four walls of this church, in your house. And I was talking the other day with a group of brothers and sisters. We were talking about our Christianity at church and our Christianity at home. And we were all honest and said, yeah, really, you know, at home, yeah, sometimes we aren't as nice and friendly as we ought to be, because when we're at church, we have this face, and at home we have another face. And that doesn't really, that's not a good thing, is it? No. We really want to live our Christian walk the same at home as we do here. The same love, the same reaching out, the same courtesy, friendly, kind words, compassion. And so as David's living here in this land of the Philistines, he's told by King Achish, as they're getting ready to attack Israel, look, David, the other Philistine kings aren't happy with you being here. They're fearful of you, because it was you that killed Goliath. And they're fearful that you might turn and attack us as we attack Israel. So you go home with your men. And David put on the sad face. But okay, he got up early in the morning and he goes home, a three-day journey. When he gets home, this is what he finds. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we'll start in verse 1. Now it happened that when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag. And they attacked Ziklag, and they burned it with fire, and they had taken capture the women and those who were there, from small to great. And they did not kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. And David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. So here's David and his men, 600. They come back, and everything that's important to them in life has been taken away. Everything. Their wives, their children, their homes are burnt, their livestock is gone. And I can imagine at that point the devastation of their hearts, the tragedy, what must have gone through their minds. See, sometimes when we're confronted with difficulties, you know, we can become devastated. It can become overwhelming. In this case, it was so overwhelming. It says that they wept until they could weep no more. That is hurtful. And if you think about it, what did David have left in his life? Well, maybe he had his mule and the sword of Goliath. He didn't have his home, didn't have his wife. He didn't have joy, didn't have peace. He was absolutely devastated in every area, physically, mentally, emotionally. And you could say that really David had nothing, but that's not true, because David did have something. David had the Lord, and the Lord had David. And that's what you and I have. We have the Lord, and he has us. See, the Lord doesn't lose us. Now, where's John or Mary? Where are you? Are you here? No. You know, and even when he called Adam, 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 where art thou? He didn't lose Adam. He knew right where Adam was. He was waiting for Adam to go, I'm over here, Lord. He knows right where you're at. He knows right what you're going through. And he cares, because he loves you. And I want you to know that today, that God profoundly loves you, profoundly. He cares what you are caring about. It's important to him what's important to you in Christ. And so this is part of that confidence that you and I have in Christ. And again, this is why when we look at this example in David's life, we can see that though David had nothing, he did have the Lord. I don't know if any of you saw, there was a program on TV not too long ago where there's a film crew that's been going around the world and they're photographing children living in different parts of the world. Like they'll photograph a child and they'll go like every year, every other year, and they'll photograph the progress of this child and wherever they're living. They'll go to Africa, Afghanistan, and just different parts. And then they'll take these programs and go and show them to the kids so the kids can see what other kids in other parts of the world go through too. But there was a story about a young boy who was living in Kenya, and I was really impressed with his story because this young boy, he had a dad and he had a mom, and he had another sister and a brother, and here they are, they're living, and they're trying to make ends meet, and living in Africa in Kenya, they're struggling, and his mom dies. And then his dad goes and marries another woman and abandons him and his younger brother and sister, and he's probably at this point maybe about 12, 13 years old. And so the story picks up with how he was living life. It focuses on the elder son. And it says that he gets up every morning at 5:30 in the morning. He gets his brothers and sisters up. They go to school. He's one of the best students in the class. He talks about how sometimes they have no food at night and they go to bed hungry. They just go to sleep because they have no food. And you know, that's the way to get rid of hunger. You go to sleep if you can sleep. And it just talked about the struggles that he was going through and how he felt about his mom dying and his dad abandoning them. But at one part in the program, this is beautiful, he starts praying. And he's praying this prayer with his brother and his sister, and he says, and thank you, God, in Jesus' name. And I said, oh, that's how he does it. That's how he gets up at 5:30 in the morning and gets his brother and sister up and goes to school and moves through life. He has Jesus. And when I saw that program, I laughed and I said, what problems do I have? I don't have any problems, Lord. Not now. I'm not going to talk to you about him because that kid's got problems. And yet he's got you, and I see the fruit of it. Lord, thank you. I can make it, Lord. I can make it. And see, your witness of following Christ under difficulties is a great witness to everybody around you. Because some of you are going through incredible struggles and your other brothers and sisters are watching you. They're praying for you. They're cheering you on. And when they see you moving forward in Christ, it encourages them when they come to difficult times. So we do need one another. But see, this is one of those things that's so exciting. That it's Christ in us that moves us forward. Now, as we look to a verse that Isaiah says here, you will keep, talking to the Lord, he says, you will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because they trust in you. Trust in Yah, for in him is everlasting strength. And we do need strength for today. See, we're living in a time when the world is changing. You know, we've been in America for a little over 200 years and we pretty much, you know, we started off a little rough with some war and we've been a peaceful nation, as far as this nation having peace on its shores. Yes, there's been wars, and yes, there's been difficulties. There's been economic crashes, and there's been all kinds of things. But in general, we're a very blessed nation. But what if it changes? See, it did for Israel. It changed for Israel. It's okay. We got God. If this nation changes, we got God. And you need to remember that. See, Daniel had to live it, didn't he? Growing up in the king's palace, part of the royal family. And bam, in comes Babylon, takes him away captive, makes him a eunuch, foreigner in a foreign country, has to learn these different customs, and Daniel made it, and God used him. See, so it doesn't matter what happens around us, God can still use us. We just got to keep the focus. That's the key. But let's keep reading forward here with David. Because there's another aspect that falls in play here for David. It says, and David's own wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Canaanite, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, and the people spoke of stoning him because of the souls of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. See, there it is, folks. Now imagine, his own friends turned on him. His own friends wanted to kill him. He's lost everything. He's even lost his friends. And David strengthened himself in the Lord. And this is a very beautiful verse. Because watch what God does. God does come through for David. It says here, David writes in the Psalms, "In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted." But see, David sought the Lord. And when we say David sought the Lord, how about the Lord himself? Do you remember the Lord when he was in the garden? Do you think he went through a difficult time, about to take upon him the sins of the world, to be separated from the Father? Jesus says this. He says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour." And he goes on to say to his disciples, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." See, our God became flesh and dwelt among us to identify with us in every area of our lives. He understands the hurts. He can understand the pains. But see, even he let himself go through difficult times. But the beautiful thing is he was in fellowship with the Father. And he also asked his disciples, "Come be with me." There's some keys here. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another. I come back to we need one another. But let's finish this part of the story. Let's look now. We're going to just jump ahead, but let's look at verse 18. And we want to see what happens here. It says, "So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, neither small or great, son or daughter." See, nothing was lost. He had everything. And this is the thing, David recovered it all. David recovered all. It looked impossible, didn't it? It looked absolutely devastating. And again, whatever we go through can look impossible and devastating. But you know what? God's with you. And you can recover all in him. You just have to keep moving forward one day at a time, trusting him, staying in the fellowship of brothers, being in the word, growing in prayer, because God is faithful. Now, I was thinking, about how do I become ready for tomorrow? See, when I look to the word, what does the word tell me about the future? Now, when we really look at it, it doesn't look real good, does it? But he didn't put it in there to make us sad or despair. He's told us what's happening, what's going to happen, so that we can be prepared. And this is the mindset that you and I need as Christians. Not that we focus on the difficulties coming, but that we establish ourselves in Christ and be prepared to start lifting up people around us that are going to need help as difficult times come. See, we're to focus on Christ, and we're to pull people in around us. We're to lift people up. There's a song that I love, and this song always is, it's almost like scripture. It's not scripture, but it's almost like scripture for me when I think about it. It's "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Remember the words? "Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And folks, we don't know what's coming down the road for us in life, But we do focus on Christ because we're going to start to prepare to lift people up around us. We're not going to go inward about, oh, me and my. We're going to go outward and go him and her. And we're going to pull men and women and boys and girls and people up from this world because, see, they don't know what's coming. See, there's a train coming and people are laying on the tracks. But they don't know that there is a train coming. And this is the difficulty. I'm going to tell you a story. And this is a true story and it happened to me. And when I was probably about 19 years old, a group of friends of mine, we went to Canada on a backpacking trip through the Canadian Rockies, and we were gone for a month. And so when we came out of the Rockies and we dropped back down into civilization, it was later in the day and our cars were there, and we said, well, you know what, let's just jump in our cars and we'll travel for a little bit, and when we get tired, we'll pull over and just go to sleep. And that's what we did. And I remember there was no moon that night, it was very dark. And I remember as we were looking for a spot, we pulled off of a road and there was sort of a little open area. And we said, well, this looks good enough. We'll put our sleeping bags down and we'll just sleep right here until we wake up. And then we'll continue back to California. So sometime in the middle of the night, and I don't know what time it was, I heard voices. I could hear people talking. And I thought, who's talking? What's going on? I popped my head out of the sleeping bag and about 6 feet away from me, I saw some people with a flashlight, I'm drowsy. I don't know what's going on. I thought, our friend, maybe they're going to the bathroom or something, one of the gang, you know. I went back to sleep. And then sometime later, all of a sudden, there's this rumbling to the ground and a rumbling sound. And I'm woken up by this sound. I'm asleep. I'm in a daze. And I'm trying to wrap my mind about what am I experiencing? What is this? Because the ground is shaking, and I hear this loud noise, and I pop my head out of my sleeping bag only to find a bright light coming right towards me. And I go, what is this? I was absolutely paralyzed because fear took hold of me, and I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what I was even seeing. And all of a sudden, I looked to the side of me, and about 6 feet away, the light hit rails. It's a train track. I was sleeping 6 feet away from a train track, and the train is coming right at me. And see, all I'm seeing is something coming at me, and I can't even figure out what it is. And let me tell you, I bolted up and got out of that area as fast as I could. You see, there's people sleeping on the tracks. And they don't know what's coming in this world. You do. We need to tell them. We need to warn them. We need to start to pull people up and move people towards Christ and get them out of that place of danger. And see, the reason I turn my eyes upon Jesus and not to my problems is because when I turn my eyes to Jesus, I do find love, joy, and peace. And I can also have an outward perspective to help those around me. And see, one of the greatest joys in the Christian life is helping people around them instead of looking at ourselves. And we don't want to do this in the time in which we live. We want to be prepared. We want to have an outward focus. It's so, so important. And, you know, there may be some people here, too, today that maybe like myself, I wasn't on the track, was I? But I was very close to it. And some of you today may be living a Christian life, and you know in your heart that you're too close to the tracks. You really shouldn't be that close. You shouldn't be living on the edge. I just want to encourage you to step closer to Christ, to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look to the author and finisher of your faith, because he loves you. He loves you profoundly. And you know what? That's, again, where you're going to find love, joy, and peace. So turn to Christ. Draw near to him. Let's not look at the distractions around us. Let's not worry about, how am I going to get this done? And how am I going to accomplish that? And what if I lose my job? And what if I lose my house? And what if my kids end up in jail? You know what? Yes, those are important things. I would not play them down, but I would not let them consume my heart and my mind, because they're things of the world. In 100 years from today, we're going to be in His presence, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You so much for Your word, because, Lord, we don't want to be asleep. This is not a time for us to be asleep. And we know that even Paul tells us that in the last time, perilous days will come. And Lord, we know that in the last times, there'll be difficult times. But, Father, You've placed us here because we can look to You. We can trust in You. And, Lord, You do want to use us. And so we thank You that we live in such a special time when, Lord, we believe with all our hearts You're coming back for the church. And Lord, we want to be awake. We want to be focused. We want to be ready. And so, Lord, would You just encourage our hearts? Would You just take these things that we're just struggling with and Lord, just help us with them? Will You be faithful to us? We know You're faithful. And thank You for the example in Your word of the faithfulness to people from the past. Because, Lord, You're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And we love You, and we thank You, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.